Thank you, Miss Ruthie. Amen. Thank you very much. Take your Bibles and let it fall open to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know I've kind of been belaboring this, but I really want us to get every little squeeze it for all the juice out of it we can. I really do, because I really want this to make a difference. I want this really, I think of a large percentage of Christians, and well-meaning Christians, do all they can to work up love. The problem is we cannot work it up. We mean well, we want to do right, and that's good. Even Brother Nathan in his Sunday school class, where did you go, was talking about there's a lot of things that we just cannot do. And so we're going to talk about love. We're going to get kind of practical about some things here today. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, once again, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our salvation and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's having been saved by grace through faith, not of works as any man should boast. Number 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. How has he given us the divine power? According as the divine power hath given us all things unto pertain unto life and godliness. So we have the divine power. Let me reword that. How do we get the godliness? Through the divine power. Way too many folks are trying to be godly. Sounds funny. Well, aren't you supposed to be godly? Yes. And there's a process in which that comes. But it doesn't come by our effort to be godly. Hang on. Verse 4, whereby we are given unto us, there is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity, agape love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unless someone just gets on my nerves. I think I put that in there. We think, well, we can work it up. We can be loving and we can be caring and have all this, unless somebody really gets on my nerves. Well, then, you know, what do you do? Well, that's what the difference is with whether you're trying to be godly in your power or whether you're godly because God has given you his divine nature as you gain the knowledge of him. Keep this in your mind. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Let's pray. And I've had a series within a series, and this little second series here has been overcoming the natural man that I am. Today we're going to talk about this, the love of God in me. The love of God in me. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I want to say what needs to be said. I don't want to say a lot of extraneous things, and yet, Lord, I want the concept to come across and be clear to each heart in this room and those who are listening online. And Lord, I want you to do a work in our lives. You've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And yet, Lord, many of us are not taking advantage of it because we have not gained the knowledge of God as maybe we should have. And Lord, I want us to really open our heart. Maybe we learn some things. These messages may really shake up some folks. Maybe some folks who really thought, well, they had everything all together and realized that maybe they don't, or maybe there's some development that's still possible. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I need this as much as anybody. So, Lord, remind us of these things, and we give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Of course, this is written to those who have obtained like faith. And so to add to your faith, you've got to have a faith. It's talking about having received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, not by works, with any man should boast, but grace by grace through faith. And so by faith, we receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, and along with that comes the Holy Spirit. If you want the great and precious promises, though, everything you need in life and godliness, we must add to our faith, and so we need to be developing the divine nature within us. Again, we cannot create the divine nature within us. God can do that, but there are some steps that we take so that God will be doing that. So through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, enters the heart of every person that truly receives Jesus Christ as our Savior. Yet, watch, the divine nature of God needs to grow and be developed within our hearts to the point where, as Romans 5:21, that as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not that sin, therefore, that let not sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members of an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So who's reigning in your life? Is your flesh reigning, or is God reigning? Now, if we want the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to rule over us, to take control of us, if you will, to do in us what he's supposed to do, as believers, we must give all diligence to add to our faith the knowledge of God, which is going to take self-control, patience to accomplish that. That's the part of the self-control. To force myself to yield to God, to learn the knowledge of God. That's what I can do before it. Decide that I need him. And need him more, and need him more, and need him more. Not decide I'm going to be good and godly, and thus I'm going to be. So we add the knowledge of God to our faith. And God adds godliness, which is God-likeness, or thinking of God. He adds that to us. So we add the knowledge of God, and God in return adds that God-likeness to us. And as godliness continues to develop in us, it will begin to grow into an outward manifestation of God-likeness, so our behavior will change. In other words, brotherly kindness. But now, as godliness continues to develop in us, and the likeness of Christ will also develop in us and become deeper, and our brotherly kindness, our behavior will become more and more, more than just simple affection. The heart will become involved in our actions, and the behavior will come from love, a true love. But wait a minute, love is of God. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So how am I going to have this love unless God is doing the loving through me? So the Lord is developing the divine nature within us. That normal nature of God is taking over as opposed to the normal nature of fallen mortal man. We've talked about that before. You know, I saw a program, and they talked about pit bulls, and you know they have a nature about them. They've been bred to be fighters. Then you've got Chihuahuas, and they just think they're fighters. And you got other ones who are not fighters at all. They're just big old teddy bears, you know, like a golden retriever. So they have a nature. And humans, though we're all a little different, there are some basic things in human nature. There's selfishness, and there's self-preserving ourselves, and self-preservation, and there's some things that are becoming of the human nature. But there's also a godly nature, divine nature. And so when we receive Christ as our Savior, that divine nature comes in and is given to us everything we need to pertain in life and godliness, but we're not necessarily making use of it until by knowledge of him, we let him take control over us. So when we yield to the divine nature, it is called putting on the new man. We talked about that recently. This new man is going to be a man of love. Why? Because when you're putting on the new nature, you're putting on a divine nature, which is a godly nature, and God is love. If I put on God, I cannot help but put on unselfish love. If I haven't put on unselfish love, then I have not yet put on God. But how? Watch this. I cannot put on the new man without taking off the old man. Or I could say it this way. I can't put on the new man without turning my back on the old man. That's called repentance. I don't want that in my life anymore. I want to be like Christ. Now, I've got to make that determination. But just making that determination doesn't make me the new man. There's a process in putting on the new man. So the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, the Bible says, made new. And so when I put on the new man, what am I putting on? I'm putting on godliness. The old man, when I take him off, what am I taking off? Ungodliness, anything that's not like God. When I put on the new man, I'm putting on godliness. That's all things that are like God. Anything that's like the nature of God. Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness, the mark of maturity. You know what I think a lot of people, listen, you would see the difference between a human nature and godly nature? Godly nature puts on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If you have a quarrel, forgive them even as Christ forgave you. You know what human nature says? Oh, you become a doormat. Oh, you give away your dignity. Oh, you give away your life. You let people walk all over you. Oh, that's what we think. You could say that's what happened to Jesus. Or you could say that he humbled himself, became a servant, and was obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. And the Lord hath highly exalted him above all other names, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's walking by faith. Believing what God said and doing it. Not because we can see the end now, but because we can see the end because God says that's the end. Let me give you a side note. Many people think that being like God means pointing out the problems and sins and shortcomings of others. Now, God has given me the job to stand up here and proclaim the Word of God. So in some ways, you could say that's what I'm doing. All right, I understand. On the other hand, I'm not here to condemn you beneath me. But there's an awful lot of folks who will think that I'm being so God. Look, see, I know what's right and what's wrong. You see, that person there, they're wrong. And that person there, they're wrong. Now here, I'm right. But that person, they're wrong. And I feel like that's what being godly is. But wait a minute. Jesus said, John 3:16, ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You want to be like Jesus? We all know we're all condemned. Now let's bring life to them. Let's take life to these people. Let's encourage them to know Christ as their Savior. That love, we just read it, is the mark of perfectness, the bond of perfectness, the mark of maturity, the the mark of having become what like Christ. Doesn't throw truth away, but becoming like Christ. And so the ultimate in the life of a Christian is to be like God, godliness. But that's not in power, not in authority, and not being worshipped, but in love, because love is of God. Without God, there is no love. If you're being ruled by your flesh and not by God, then love is not the motivation of your actions, and thus you're living life in an ungodly fashion. I'm not talking about somebody who puts on a loving persona. Now, we should be able to see a loving persona. But just putting on a loving persona is not what we're talking about. We said put on the new man. Yes, he means clothe yourself in the righteousness of God. Well, how do you do that? By allowing him to add godliness to your faith. Well, how do you do that? By you adding knowledge. You getting to know God. 1 John 4, 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It's if God's not ruling you, then you're not yet loving. You may appear to be, you may have some good intentions, but true, unconditional, unending, perfect love comes from God. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then he gives an example. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In fact, he says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he's given us of our spirit. And then it drops down and says, if a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he's a liar. Oh, I love God. I love God so much, that's why I hate all these other people over here. Well, so I don't hate them. Well, then why do you backbite and talk nasty about them? Well, they're all the wrong side of things. They're all on the liberal side. They're the progressives, and you know, as far as they could all go to. Wait! Jesus died and paid for their sins. You see, we have a hard time understanding love. Because love is of God. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. He that loveth is born of God, it's saved, and he knows God. Now, what develops godly love? The knowledge of God. So, if you get nothing else from this message this morning, here's something I want you to hear. I want you to listen to this very, 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 very closely. Many of you think I'm telling you to start loving others, but I'm not. Because if I do that, there's a lot of folks who will start saying, okay, well, I'm going to be nice to the lady next door who's always complaining. I'm going to be loving, next time I see somebody at the gas station, I'm going to pay for their gas. Or next time I go to the drive-thru at McDonald's, I'm going to tell them, I'll pay for the one behind me or whatever it is, you know. Okay, that's all fine and nice. That's nice to do that. But the fact is, if that person you just paid for their coffee behind you cussed you out, would you buy their coffee again? Or would you take their coffee and pour it on their head? In fact, we like being loving if everybody loves us for being loving. I'm the loving one. Everybody likes me. Have you seen? I've seen that. Now watch me. In us, this is what I want you to hear. In us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. To take all those words, don't make it say something that doesn't say. In us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul talks about this in Romans 7. Now watch. We do not have it within us. Now don't rationalize this. Don't try to play with this. We do not have it within us to love in an unconditional, godly fashion. That means I cannot simply pull it out of my pocket and start using it. I can't just decide to work it up. I can be kind. I can be nice. But the really godly love that transcends all the sins of everybody is not within us. We can be kindly affectioned. And there's a lot of people who are mean, and the Holy Spirit gets them, and they get brotherly kindness. They do become kindly affectioned. And that's good. But there's another step of this unconditional love to brotherly kindness. He adds charity. Watch. I am not telling you to start loving others. However, I am telling you to choose to love others. Now that sounds like a contradiction. Watch. If we desire to be loving, which is like God, then we must choose to diligently add the knowledge of God to our faith. By choosing to diligently add the knowledge of God to my faith, I am choosing to allow God to add godliness to me. The godliness is not within me. It's not within you. It is within God. And so when God rules and reigns in your heart, then you will be expressing that love. That if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's inside you, you have what you need. You got Him. But are you yielding? Yield yourself to Him to reign over you. As God develops godliness in us, God develops true agape love into our hearts, into our being. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace. So he says, remember our verse said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you? Same thing. So we're justified by faith, we have peace with God and through the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace, in other words, grace and peace being multiplied to us, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Remember, He's called us to glory and virtue, not to shame and embarrassment. All right, but watch. And not only so, but watch this, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now that word shed abroad means to pour forth. It means to gush out. It means to we could almost be greedy for it. In other words, to shed abroad, to spill all over us. He says, listen, God has given us a life, but we can even have that life and that love in tribulation also. You see, the love of God does not dissipate, is not dropped because we're being persecuted or we're in tribulation. In fact, the tribulation works by patience.
Yeah, I know.
But patience, experience. As I wait on God to work through the situation, I experience the deliverance of God. And then once it works patience, works experience, and experience brings hope. Hey, I've been through this before. The next trial, you know what? I see it coming. I wonder, that's why my wife always says, it's going to be interesting to see what he's going to do. It's not about trying to get out from underneath of it. It's going to be seeing what God, why? Why is it I can put up with the tribulations? Because God has shed abroad his love in our hearts. When I go through the tribulation, that person's not my enemy. I still love that person. Maybe the problem is the world's gotten the best of them. They're not the enemy. They're the victim of the enemy. You follow what I'm saying? Love says, I need to help that person out, or they wouldn't have done, they wouldn't treat me like that if it wasn't the fact that their old flesh is getting the best of them. So, the point here being, I don't have that within me. But God has that within him. And if he rules my heart, then he fulfills the love through me. So what is the love of God like? I had a great big long message here, and I only got through these first three points here this morning for early service, so that's what I'm going to do for you. Number one, the rest of that was to get you in the right point here. Number one, simple. Love is action. Love is action. You've heard me say often that faith is action based on a promise or a command of God. In other words, if God says to do it, then I do it. Well, I don't see where this is leading. I don't have to see where it's leading. Listen, you all raise kids, and you tell the kids, this is what I need you to do, and they go, why? Because I said so. Why? Well, it needs to be done. Why? Well, it'll be a mess if you don't do it. Why? No, that's not love either, is it? Why? We do the same thing for God. He says, here's what I need you to do. And I said, I'm not quite seeing the chain of events here. How's that going to lead to something good for me? He said, I said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's shining the next little step. This is what I need to do. Why? Because God said so. It's funny how we play God as parents. Why do I do that? Because I said so. And then God says, follow me because I said so. Yeah, but... And we do what you do to God, what these kids are doing to us. Love, faith is action based on a promise. If I really, truly believe it, I'm going to act upon it. If I truly love unconditionally, not just saying it, not just putting it on, not just talking righteous and spiritual. If I truly love, then it will naturally, the divine nature, appear in my actions. If I have been given the divine nature, then it's only natural for my response to be loving. That's your reflex action. That becomes your instinct. Now, there's some folks, their instinct, when someone says something they don't like, is a, but in love, they didn't. So they, quote unquote, in love, I didn't smack you. No. The instinct, the nature, the divine nature says, this person's having a hard day about something. I wonder if I could help them out. I'm getting ahead of myself. But if you go to, don't go right now, but in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says, love suffers long and is kind. It's all one phrase. Love not only puts up with it and doesn't pat itself on the back because you didn't retaliate, but their instinct is, wow, must be something on their plate that they're having a hard time. I wonder if I can help them. Well, that's ridiculous. It is to the natural man. But the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What did I say before? Humbleness of mind and meekness and long. I mean, come on. Let's get real. We're humans here. I know. That's the problem. And he said, we have tried to be motivational speakers to help us pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And there's nothing wrong with this. I know a lot of good, honest, well-meaning people who say, well, listen, I did the problem. I need to take care of it. And that's sure. That's true, your responsibility. The problem is there's some things in your life you cannot fix because it's not within you to do that. It's a God thing. Love is action. Jesus says, watch this. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John, 1 John 4 says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Boy, they're strong words. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how could he love God whom he hath not seen? If I can say all I want that I love, but if those actions are not lived out in my love is dead. My love is not real. Now watch this. On the other hand, I can go through all the motions of love and use those motions to manipulate and to get what I want. And it not be love at all. But if it's true love, it will show up in our actions. So how can we say we love God and not do as He wants? So all of God's commands boil down to two commandments. You know this, Matthew 22, 36 says, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now watch me. I don't want some, have you ever you hear all these scenarios. You got somebody, he's your best friend, he says he loves you, but the fact is he's cheating with your wife on you. He's cheating on you with your wife. But he loves you too. No, you don't. Don't tell me you love me and commit adultery. Hang all the law and the prophets. Don't tell me you love me and steal from me. I hate to even say this, but my dad had a buildings full of things that he had collected ever since he was like 16. You walk when everything was up and running. It looked like a small museum. I mean, he had cars and collectibles and all this stuff, and he had all these matchbox cars and all this stuff, and he had a bicycle built for two and all these things, you know, all hanging around. And you know what? After he died, he had given keys to people that love him, and things started disappearing. Little here, little there. I don't know what happened to the bicycle built for two. No one knows what happened to it. But they had pulled it down, and he had it hanging up by chains, and then the chains were hanging. It's gone. He had all these matchbox cars stuck in here. It was all real tight. You know, by the time I got down there to clean all this up, they were all kind of spread out because they had to
root out ones they wanted. Listen, love obeys commandments. Love doesn't commit adultery, doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, doesn't steal, doesn't murder. Love keeps his commandments. Proverbs 24, 29 says, "Say not, I will do to him as he hath done to me. I will render that to the man according to his work." Love is not about getting even or making things even. Watch this. Love is not about you doing to them, doing them a loving favor by teaching them a lesson that they'll never forget. Love is action. Number two, love is more than a feeling. Love is more than a feeling. I had my first crush in first grade. The only reason it was in first grade is because I didn't go to kindergarten. Her name was Janelle. I saw her the very first night. We have orientation for first grade. And there she was across the room in a cute little pink dress you ever want to see. White ruffles and a little pink dress, back when they dressed girls like girls. And her hair was all done, all curled up. And I mean, she was cute. And we were kind of a thing all the way through second grade until I moved to another town. I moved out of the school. Then I went to the carnival one year and saw her there. Remember that, you know, you saw them and, you know, you liked them, and then you liked them a lot. And you liked them a whole lot. And now you're in love. Well, that's love, but it's phileo love. It's an affection for. It's an appreciation for. Now, frankly, there's an awful lot of people who get married, and that's all they ever get is affection for. And they like them. But then, after they're married for a while, they find out his feet stink. He doesn't pick up his underwear. He leaves greasy handprints all over your nice new towels. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, the affection is infection. And it's not quite what we thought it was. And you say, well, I just don't love him anymore. Well, that's probably true. You don't phileo, brotherly love him, affection for. But you see, the brother love gets us together. What holds us together is agape love. That's godly love. And where are we going to get that? From God. How are we going to get that? By knowing Him. Love is more than a word to justify the actions I'm about to take. Well, I did that because I love you. Some folks say they love others, but what they mean is, I'm loving them on the inside where no one can see. You know, I love them, but I'm being mean on the outside. But I justify because I'm saying I'm doing it out of love. Or there's folks who do just the opposite. They put on some kind of feigned love. Remember, love is supposed to be without dissimulation, without falsifying it. But they put all this on, but down inside, they're just manipulating. They're just getting what they want, trying to keep peace or whatever. Just because you say you love someone when you are kicking them in the shins doesn't mean you love them. You know, even preachers kind of joke about, well, I gave them the right hand of fellowship in Christian love, you know. But on the other hand, watch, you cannot say you love your children if you're not willing to discipline them when necessary. That is true. But watch me. Bible says, he that spares the rod hateth his son. On the other hand, the rod is not the answer to everything a child does wrong. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Bless God, that's right. Second part of the next verse. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Some parents think that the loving thing to do is basically beat their kid every time they do something wrong. That's your last defense, so to speak. And sometimes you have to paddle them, get their attention, not beat them. And by the way, once you say, well, you shouldn't do that to the little ones. No, that's the ones you do. That's the ones you paddle because they don't understand the reasoning. But wait a minute. You don't haul off and wail and whack them. You know, sometimes that's all you need, and they got a diaper back there. They don't even feel it. But they know you're upset with them, and they know. When they our grandkids were at our house, and Janet was kind of wrestling with one of them, you know, and they were climbing all over here, and she was beating their bottom. They were laughing, and she was beating their bottom harder than their daddy beats them when they do wrong. But they were laughing and having a good time because it wasn't that we were hurting anybody. They were playing. It's the thought that mom and dad are upset with me. That's all it is. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have the discipline, but you discipline out of love. Listen, your kids, by the way, I've said this so many times, discipline will only make your children bitter unless they know first that you love them. Oh, this hurts, I love you, and it hurts me more than it does you. I don't think so, Dad. You know, seems like you're having a good time here, you know, and but the fact is your kids ought to have 10 times have heard you love them and had expressions of love toward them to every time you've had to paddle them, because that needs to be penetrated in their lives. They're loved, and if mom and dad are upset enough about what I did, that they would do this because I know they love me, this must be bad. But if you do this all the time, all they think is nobody cares. They don't know. Love is action. Love is more than a feeling. Watch this. If to love God supremely and others as ourselves are the two laws on which all the law and the prophets hang, and Matthew 7 says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Then watch this. Then doing unto others as you would have them do unto you is love in practice. Love in practice. Luke 6:31, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. If ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If ye lend to them of whom ye have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. What good do you get back from your enemies? Huh? What good do you get back from your enemies? The thought is, if I love my enemies, that's a waste of love. That's a waste of effort. That's a waste of trying. But wait a minute. If love has become part of my new nature, I don't necessarily have to try to love, because the Holy Spirit loves them through me. It's no sweat off my back. The sweat's on the Lord's back. Follow what I'm saying? Now, I know this sounds foreign to some people, but I'm talking about a love that only comes from God. He loves us beyond knowledge. In other words, He knows everything about us and loves us. That's the godly love, the godliness that He will put in us when we will add to our faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and patience, and brotherly kindness, charity. We go to church, we smile at the right times, we laugh at the right times, we're basically nice to people. So, well, I'm loving. But then that neighbor lets his dog do his doo-doo on your yard. Well, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll scoop it up and put it in a bag and set it on fire and put it in front of his front door. Yell fire, I'll show him. Would you like that? Would Jesus do that? Well, I don't know what Jesus would do. Well, then let's get the knowledge of God. We'll find out what Jesus would do. I got one. This is. I'm coming to church with the rest of you, right? Confession. Me and my pet peeves, I got one. I hate it when somebody pulls out in front of me and then drags down through the road. Oh, my soul. They pull out and then go 25 and a 35. If you were in such a rush to get out, you could have waited until I was gone. There was nobody behind me. You could have waited one more car. You know what I like to do? Get right on their bumper. Oh, it's so hard not to do it. You're laughing, Nathan. Is that running the family? But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. He pulls out in front of me, and I don't ride on his tail. And you know what? He'll never even know that I've been merciful to him. He got away with it. He just looking all around. I didn't even blow my horn. Well, that was a waste of time. No. 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 Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing, and your reward shall be great. What reward? Well, your reward is going to be great. Well, what is it? How great is it? When do I get it? I don't know any of that. I don't know any of that. But by love and exercising faith, I take God's word on it. It's going to be better for me. But how do I know that? Of course, I got the knowledge of God here. It's better for me to be merciful than for me to ride his tail, ride the horn, stand out, wave with one finger, and lose the reward. You know what I'm saying? Well, I can't do that. I'm sorry, preacher. I just can't do it. Neither can I. But God can. And I have to choose to let God do that through me. Well, how do you do that? By choosing to gain, to diligently add to my faith the knowledge of God. Get to know him inside and out. That's why, you know, I hate to say it, coming once in a while just doesn't do it enough. We've got to get to know this book. We've got to let God apply it to our heart. When it comes to living life, this is the great question we ask ourselves. What would I want others to do to me concerning this issue? If I am to love others as myself, how would I want to be loved? This is the practical application of that second commandment, to love others as yourself. Every time we speak, we need to hear the words that are in our hearts that are coming out as it's coming out of our mouth. But if those words are coming in our direction, ask yourself, how would I receive the word that as a less than perfect Christian? Watch. If someone just did you wrong on purpose, they're not walking with God, right? So they're not going to see things as godly as a godly person should see it. So how are they going to take it when you crank all over them? They're going to receive it as a person that's not right with God, and they're not going to forgive you either. If nothing else, we're going to cause, listen, grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. So how would your fleshly side take what you're saying, what you're going to say to that person? Is that what you would need to have said to you if you were in their shoes? What if someone has spoken to you like you just spoke to them? And we wonder why they're mad at us. I'm going to give you an illustration. I hate to do this, but I'm going to. I know a person that's bitter because this person feels that his family has turned their backs on him. And yet, this person goes on social media and tears the family members down in a public forum. Now, are these actions going to restore the relationships, or are they going to do the opposite of that? You think about it. I mean, what if you got on Facebook, the church Facebook, and you saw me? I don't even do Facebook. I don't know how to do it. And I was on there saying, I want to forgive my wife because she's such a jerk. You know what you would think about me? And then you'd also think about her, but then you're going to feel sorry for her because she's stuck with me. I'm not going to restore her. So restore a relationship by doing that. No person is going to drive away the ones that they really want to have a relationship. We're going to drive them further and further away. Would I want others to be speaking about me as I'm speaking about them? We've got to have that question. Would I want someone to deal with me as I'm dealing with them? If you were a child and you did foolishly, how do you want your parents to respond to you? You dumb kid, what's the matter with you? Don't you have any brains? I think you laid too long on one side. Your brains all fell out your ear. Or would you want to be restored in the spirit of meekness? Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. By the way, it says, if a man. By the way, you might as well say, when. And you can also put woman in there. I mean, that's all that goes together, so you know. Brethren, if a man be taken over in a fault. So when it happens, ye which are spiritual, ye which are godly, ye which have the knowledge of God, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then the next verse is this. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's an awful lot of people say, well, help somebody pay their bills. Okay, that's fine. That's not what that's really talking about here. You know what that burden is? Their sinfulness. The people that hurt us are not the enemy. They're victims of the enemy. If we love them, we don't kick them while they're down. We try to help them up. There's an awful lot of Christians who shoot their own wounded. They're down, they're hurting, and maybe not doing what they're supposed to do. And what do?
Well, hey, you know, they did it themselves.
And you shoot them while they're down. Let's pick it up. So like Christ, we need to put up
and overlook the weaknesses and the faults and the shortcomings of others as much as within us to live peaceably with all men. Now, how do you get it within us to do that? Add to your faith godliness, the knowledge of God, and God will give you the godliness that you're looking for.